All right. Glad to have each of you here this morning. Let's look in, if you have your Bibles or your cell phone or you just want to listen, we're starting in Genesis chapter 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1, always a great book when you're having to get in the Bible open because it's the first one. And we're going to look at the very, very first verse to start with, and then we will jump from there. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. All right, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right, pretty simple, straightforward verse. God doesn't get all confusing on the first verse of the Bible. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is just a foundational starting point for this morning. I think if we can understand this verse in life in general, I think it goes a long ways to helping everything. If we throw this verse out of the Bible and we don't know if God created all things and we're kind of here by accident, that can kind of cause a difficult way of facing life. I like knowing this morning that in the beginning, there was God. I love what Jesus tells John in Revelation chapter 1. He says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. I love the fact that Jesus says, at the beginning, I was there. And I love at the end, he says, when it all comes to an end, guess who's going to still be there? I'm going to be there. Which tells me that between the beginning and the end, Jesus is there. So right now, I'm assuming we're between the beginning and the end. I think that's how time works. That means that this morning, he is here with us. So as we begin the message, it says in the beginning, God, and what did he do? He created the heavens and the earth. Listen, this morning, there's a lot of challenging discussions, a lot of people that are confused and wondering about life and what to do, and they're trying to figure out their value. They're trying to figure out their worth. They're trying to figure out their meaning and their purpose in life. There's a lot of, not just young people, obviously the Trail Youth works with a lot of young people, but I work with a lot of adults in my life, and I found that adults and young people have a lot in common. Actually, they're very similar. Teenagers, though, and I was a teenager once, and I have teenagers. Teenagers are great because they just kind of, they're more transparent than us adults. We get older, we learn how to build up walls, we learn how to hide our problems, our issues from people. But we're just all teenagers, right? We all have things, we all have insecurities. But one thing I notice in our world today is a lot of people are struggling with their value, their worth. Why am I here, right? The big questions to life. And that's a challenging thing. This morning, I want you to leave understanding your value, your worth, that you are priceless to God. And if you can leave with that, I'll be happy. I'll feel like I've done my job this morning. I've known I've done something that can really that all of us need today. Let's open in prayer and let's ask God's blessing on this as we look to his word. Father, as we look to your word this morning, I pray that you just speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray this morning that you would not only, Lord, just give us some great verses, but Lord, that we'd leave here just a little bit better than when we came in. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen our resolve as we live in this world. Help us, Lord, to be able to encourage others and how important they are, Lord, to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Priceless. How many of you think you woke up this morning, you looked in the mirror, and you says, man, I am priceless. Now, I would dare say in a room this size, a few of you got up this morning, looked in the mirror, and that was the last thing you would ever think to say. You thought, more makeup. Or you thought, I need to just trim all this hair that's barely left on my head off. I mean, this is a joke, right? I need to fix something. I need to do this. Why are the bags under my eyes getting bigger? You know, and we're asking all these questions, and God's like, priceless. And you're like, oh, are you kidding? No way, God. There's no way I'm priceless, right? But God sees you that way. But again, not a lot of people see themselves that way. This morning, I want to give you a few simple thoughts. And then I'd like to encourage you this morning with a little tool I'll give you at the end to help you find your value on a daily basis. All right, something you can leave with, a little exercise you can do, I think will make a big difference. Here in Genesis chapter 1, God says he created all things. But down in verse number 26, excuse me, listen as I read. It says, then God said, now we're at the sixth day of creation. God's making us, all right? which would have been awesome to have been there to see this. But then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. I don't know if God sounds like that, but I'm just trying to sound like God. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. Notice that on the first day of creation, or sixth day of creation, God makes us, but he makes us different. He makes us in his image after his likeness. Now, the first thing I want to bring to our attention this morning is this, that we are valuable because of how we were made. You say, well, why am I valuable this morning? Just take a note to look in the Bible and see how we were made. It's a very foundational, simple truth, but it's important. How was I made? God says I was made in his likeness, in his image. What does that mean? Well, does that mean that we go to heaven like the Wizard of Oz, we pull back the curtain, and on the throne, there's this human sitting there? Hey, Josh, you figured it out. Yeah, we look the same. I look just like you. When God says we're made in his image, does it mean we look like God? Like God's this 6-foot-tall, very good-looking 40-year-old man or whatever? No, that's not what it means. It means, because what John tells us, that God is a spirit, right? And we worship him in spirit and truth. We know that when Jesus came to earth, John also tells us that he came and was as a man, right? He took on flesh. He became a man. So he wasn't a human being when he created us. So what does it mean then that God made us in his image? It means that we resemble who God is and how he functions, all right? Resemble, that's a great way to look at it. We resemble God. When you and I go out and we love people, we're acting like God, all right? When we show compassion, we show grace, we show forgiveness, we do these kinds of things. Listen, that is what is built into us to do. Don't be surprised when human beings do nice things for each other. I thought only Christians did nice things for each other. Well, we should be better at it because we're closer to the one that designed us. But listen, as humans, it is in our makeup, we are created in the image of God, to resemble God. Now, you look at human history and you go, well, we've not done a good job at this. Yeah, I agree. We know how to not act like God very, very well. But here we're asked, told, God says, I have made you to resemble me. I walk in this morning, and there's this orange and white wall back here. And I've heard about this church that runs, you know. You guys are getting a little lax, though, only 6K. I think it was a marathon last time or a half marathon. But keep it up. You're okay, all right? But here's 100 days. You guys are running to help people have water. That seems simple. That's amazing. You're doing what God would do. You are resembling God. When you guys watch Kids for Families that are taking care of needy kids in the valley, and I've heard of some of the great things your church does, you're acting like God. When you inside this church are mentoring youth through their confirmation and things like that, you're teaching young people, you're being kind at work. But when you as a church are doing all these awesome things, you are resembling God. Don't be surprised by that. You are a valuable part of this world because God says, I'm going to make them like me. I'm going to make them in my image. Now, you're not God, but you're going to resemble him. It's an awesome thing this morning to think about. What is my value in this world? Well, this morning in this auditorium, we have a great number of people. And I think, what can this group of people do for this world? Well, you're made in the image of God. You can do great things like God wants you to do. I'm telling you, the sky's the limit. You are very valuable. And sometimes I think, well, we need to tell the people that don't know Jesus that they're valuable, and we do, and that God loves them, and we do. But sometimes I wish the church would understand how valuable they are to God. I wish the church would understand that. So often churches, and we've all, a lot of you have been around church your whole life. I grew up in church. All right, my parents, they came to know the Lord later in their 20s, and they started going to church. So I grew up, though, in a home where we went to church. But I've been around a lot of Christians. You know, like, are you sure you're a Christian? You don't look very happy. And they're like, well, I don't know what the point is. I don't see the purpose. And they're depressed. And listen, Christians can get just as depressed as people that are not Christians. Christians commit suicide. Christians do horrible things. Christians struggle through life. We need to understand our value. God made us in a special way. If you leave here this morning and go, you know what, I'm going to walk out of here and going to think, God made me in his image. I'm going to remember that. That's important. Now, my wife already mentioned it. When we were down in Issaquah, we first met this group of kids, mostly older teenagers, late 20s, early 20s, and they were on the trail there just south of the community center, and they were on the trail. They were shooting up heroin at 420. At 420, you'd see them lighting up a little marijuana on the side, right? They were skipping school. There was prostitution going on. There were some of the kids were homeless. A lot of the kids were couch surfing. It was a really rough group that we first started with, a little different than we have now. But it was interesting being around those kids. And I remember on the skate park bench, Kristen mentioned these words, but there was this bench at the skate park, and they would always graffiti all over wood, like boards and fences. They would always graffiti what they were feeling, what they're thinking. And you could literally read all over the skate park and all over the fences, and you knew what was going on in these kids' minds because they were writing it out for us all to read. The biggest word of all the words written in this skate park was the word worthless. Somebody took a big Sharpie and wrote the word worthless on this bench. And I remember seeing that. My wife saw that, and that was like, we're sold. We got to do something about this. We went to one of the injection sites in the woods there off the trail. There was this little piece of wood that they had nailed to the tree, and somebody had taken a little Sharpie, and they had written the word, society's trash. This morning, I came out on the way to work, and I walk out about 2:30 out of my garage, and I look, the garbage can sipped over. Stinking bear. He keeps coming back. My garbage company says, well, you don't qualify for a bear can. I'm like, I live in the mountains. There's bears. For 13 years, they come to my trash. They love my trash. So I'm out in the road. It's all over the street. You know, I don't want my neighbors to find this. So I get out there. I'm picking up the trash, looking for the bear because I know I'm now picking up his find. All right? I'm thinking, and I've seen him last week. He's about 450 pounds, 500 pounds. He's a big, biggest bear I've ever seen in all of our years there. So I'm looking around, getting my trash, picking up pickle jars that are empty and they're dripping with pickle juice. You know, trash. Broken eggshells. Mayonnaise jars never smell good after 2 days in the trash. You know, vegetables look really bad. And I'm putting this all, it's all over my hands. I'm like, this is a horrible way to start out Sunday. You know, I'm going through all this stuff. And you think about trash. It's different when you throw it in the trash bag, but it's 3-4 days later when the bear gets it back out, trash is horrible. Do you realize these kids were thinking of themselves this way? We're just society's trash. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable in a world today that a young person looks at themselves as worthless and as society's trash. Say, where is this coming from? You know where a lot of it's coming from? They don't understand how they were created. A man I highly respect, a very intelligent man, a man whose opinion means a lot to me. I've been with him on different occasions. I overheard him. He was speaking to a group of people this week, and he said something that you hear all the time. And I understood it. I knew what he was trying to say, but he was talking about our responses as humans and how we react to people, how we respond or why we do things we do. And he goes, well, you know, we are just animals. We are just animals, right? At the end of the day, we're just animals. And I went, and I already prepared my message, and I was just, you know, I'd been going thinking about it over and over again. I'm like, well, there's a problem with our value system. If I'm just an animal, no different than Buddy and Nova, my two dogs at home, that might make me think a little bit about my value system. Am I valuable? Am I worth anything? I'm just a dog. I've watched my dogs. They're awesome. I love dogs. I do. We've had Buddy for 16 years. He's still alive. I don't know how he's alive, but I know I am different. You know, it says here right in our verse, it says, God makes us in his image, his likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and so on, over the livestock, the wild animals. God's not against animals. God's like, you know, I like humans, kill all the animals. I know they killed a lot of animals in the Old Testament. I get it. But God's not against his creation. But he didn't say, on the fifth day I made this animal and whatever, and I'm going to make them in my image. He didn't say that. He made us in his image. He didn't make the fish in his image. He didn't make Mount Sinai in his image, even though there's a looks like somebody's face on top. I understand that. God did not make anything else's image but us. He says, in all of creation, you stand out. The prophets, I think Jeremiah says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are special. We need to leave here this morning and go, you know what? Whatever else happens today, I am made in the image of God. Woo, how I'm made. I'm a valuable person. I'm valuable. Some of the students that we have to deal with and all of our children, they're bombarded with all this information and the answers to life's questions. Why are we here? How did we get here? Science is trying to answer them. By the way, I love science. I love it. I love that God put us in a place in our galaxy where we have the clearest open universe to us. We can look north and south, east, west, whatever it is in this. I'm not that great of a scientist, but looking out into the universe, I can see galaxies, and the bigger we make our telescopes, the more galaxies we see. And I love science. I love studying and seeing, as the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. I love studying the eyeball. I love studying little bugs and look at the intricacies and go, there is no way this happened by accident, that God designed this. He was a part of this. I love knowing that God was a part of that. And when the world says, we got to figure out how we got here, I'm like, spend the billions of dollars smashing atoms together. That's great. But I know that God made me, and it gives me purpose and value. And our world says, today, trying to answer the question without God, and they're not getting the answers, and they're not finding value, they're not finding meaning, they're not finding purpose, and they're wondering, why even should we exist? We are of great value this morning. I love it when Jesus talks to his disciples, and he's talking about, they're like in awe of what he's done. I won't get to the story, but they're in awe of Jesus' miracles, and Jesus says, you know what, someday I'm leaving. And the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to be with you. And you're going to do greater things than these. Oh, no way, Jesus. You're Jesus. We can't do, Jesus, like, greater things than this. God has created us in his image to do great things. You are valuable this morning. So, well, I'm not Pastor Dan. I don't play an instrument on stage. Do I have any value in this church? Do I have any value to the world outside? Absolutely. We all have value. Your workplace, you know, some of you know I'm a police officer, right? So I go to work, I'm at work, and I'm around on my same squad every day, and they have their ups and their downs. I'm like, God, help me have a purpose at my job. Help me find a person that can encourage you something. Listen, every one of us in our workplaces, we have a valuable place. We have the Lord in our hearts. If you're a Christian and you can come in and be a light in this world, listen, you are made in a wonderful way. You have value. You have worth. You are priceless to God. Secondly, this morning, though, I want you to turn over to John chapter 1, if you have your, or John chapter 15, if you have your Bibles. John chapter 15. Not only do we have value because of how we are created, but also I want us to know our value this morning as before we leave, to understand our value is found in why we are created. And it comes out of John 15, and I'm going to read verse 5 to start with. It's really my life verse, but it has a lot to say about why God, what he wants to do with us and why we are his. It says, I am the vine, Jesus says, you are the branches, in verse 5. If you remain in me, some versions use the word abide in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus here in John, he's speaking and he says, listen, my goal for you is that you abide in me, I abide in you, and in that relationship, you can't do anything without me, so you might as well be with me, because with me, he says, you can do all things. John chapter 15 is one of those great chapters that brings us into an understanding that God wants a relationship with us. We know that in the beginning was the Word, John says in the first chapter. And the Word, verse 14 says, was made flesh. And he what? Dwelt among us. I love the fact that Jesus came to be one of us. Why? To establish a relationship with us. Now, I didn't understand John chapter 15 until my senior year of college. I was off in college. I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to minor in computer science. How many computer nerdy people here? All right, you got one. Any other computer nerds? Two? All right, I see that hand. No, it's like a revival here. How many people want to confess their sin that they're computer people today? So there are some people that they're wired to program computers. I found out in college, going through my minor, that I was not that person. So I made it through the first 2 years. My third year, we had one class. It was a class we learned the language of COBOL. I don't even know. Some of you know it, all right? So it's like if you were to take something simple and make it really complicated, that's COBOL. It's like, let's just make, you know, the guy that tells the story, and it's like there's the one person that he tells the story in 1 minute, and then there's the person that tells the same story and takes 30 minutes. That's COBOL. It's a long, long, long language. So my senior year, we're writing this language. We have to write a program. My second semester, by the way, up to this point in my senior year, I got a C in every class. It ruined my GPA. This is my minor. I don't even care about this. I got a C in every class, even the easy one that's like about Microsoft Word, Excel, right when it was coming out, back when they were still chiseling in stone. It seems a long time ago. I did horrible. My senior year, my second semester, this is the only class going to cause me problems with graduation. All right, I've got my permission from my father, my future father-in-law, that I can marry Kristen. If I graduate college, if I have a job lined up. I had a job lined up, I just had to graduate college, which means I had to pass COBOL second semester, which is basically one program it takes a semester to write. Well, I'd been keeping up with it, working for months and months and months, but man, it just wasn't working at the end. I couldn't find the error. Again, it's a long story to read through, and it'll find the one period that's out of place that's killing my program. So I'm going through this day after day after day. I'm getting stressed. I must graduate so I can marry my wife. That's all I cared about. I didn't even care about my job. I just want to marry Kristen. And so I'm going through this, and it came down the night before the program is due. Again, everything's coming to an end. My four-year college experience is almost over. I get down that last day. The computer lab closes at 10 o'clock. I have to leave. Still not working. So I get back to my room, and I'm like, Lord, she's an awesome wife. She's going to be great. Help me pass this class. Is this program working? God says, hey, open your Bible. So I did. He leads me to John 15, verse 5. He says, abide in me, and I in you. Without me, you can do nothing. Pretty simple story. So I'm like, wow. God says, Josh, I'm giving you a verse that's going to change your life. God in that moment is the first time I think in my life I really understand that God wanted a relationship with me. I felt like I was the only person on the planet at that moment. I'll never forget sitting there getting the peace from God that it was going to be okay because he wanted a relationship with me for life. I knew this verse would be my life verse, and it hasn't changed in 20-some years. So I went to sleep that night, no problem. I slept really well. Woke up the next morning, got breakfast. I told Kristen, I said, you know what? I got to get over to the computer lab. Then it opens at 7. The building's always locked, but I'm trusting God. I got there at 6:30, went to the door, the back door. It's always locked. Those security guys are the worst. And I walk up the door. It's unlocked. Somewhere God tied up a security guard and stole his keys. I don't know. It was awesome. So I got in there. I get down. The computer lab's even unlocked. Woohoo! I get in the lab. I start typing, and I'm working. Man, I got an hour and a half to this girl, this one of the students. She walks in. She looks like an android. She goes right back to the printer room, and she starts printing off the programs for the day before. I have an hour and a half before she walks in to get my program done and sent to the printer so it gets printed, so I graduate college. It's going to be awesome, and I marry Kristen. So it's all this pressure. I'm working. 8 o'clock come. Here comes the android. She's walking in. She goes right to the printer room. Oh, come on, program, work. Come on, work. praying the whole time, getting closer to Jesus. And all of a sudden, she comes walking out. She has this look on her face, really, for me, an awesome look. It's a look of confusion. She walks back in with a professor a few minutes later. They walk back to that room. I'm listening to them. No printers are type printing yet. I still have time. I'm still typing. And I hear this conversation is something like, something happened last night. I don't know. Fire. Where's the fire come from? Fire. God's burning up printers now. I love this. This is good stuff. He's locked up security guards somewhere. There's printers on fire. This is awesome. So I'm praying about 45 minutes later. I'm getting all these extensions by God. My computer program worked. It worked. All of a sudden, I hit run. All the numbers are right. It wasn't the best looking thing I've ever seen, but it worked. It was probably a C program. That's good enough for me. So I hit print, and sure enough, mine was the last program to print. And I got it to the teacher. He felt sorry for me. I'm sure it was because I got a 70%. I needed a 70 to pass. I got a 70% on the dot. He was like, get rid of this guy. He does not belong in our program. Just get him out there and let him do what he's called to do, not computers. John 15 became my life first because God let me know, you know why you're valuable, Josh? Because I want a relationship with you. Over in verse 13, same chapter, Jesus says this, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. Whoa, he called me friend there. I go on in verse 14, 15, 16, he keeps going on. He's talking about, you are my friends. I no longer call you servants, verse 15, because a servant does not know his master, but instead I have called you friends. You did not choose me, verse 16, but I have chosen you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that may last. I love it. God calls me a friend. That's revolutionary. How many people have a religious view of God where God is God and I am not, and we're good that way, right? He does his stuff, I'm down here doing my stuff, and we got this thing going, that's good, all right? He doesn't touch my stuff, I don't mess up his stuff, we're good. Or the man upstairs, or different religions, you know. God, no. We don't even look at him. He's God. Jesus says, hey, you're my friends. I love the apostles, Paul, when he talks about the Holy Spirit crying in our hearts, the idea of crying out to God and calling him Abba Father, which means daddy. God calls us to relationship. New Testament, God reveals himself as a father. There is this relationship thing going on. And if people would get a hold of the fact that God desires relationship, boy, that'll increase your value. How do I feel about myself today? Well, the God of everything wants to be my buddy. The God of everything says, call me dad. That's awesome. Do you know what, that would do for our society? We all believe that. That would change everything. We'd be the awesomest, happiest country in the world. But right now, we seek to do so much to make ourselves feel better apart from this information, right? How do we know this relationship is valuable to God? Well, I know, as it said in verse 13, how do you know somebody loves you? By laying down your life for your friends. What did Jesus do for us? The Bible tells us very clearly, he died on the cross to make our relationship possible. With sin in the relationship, there was no relationship, right? If sin is between us and God, I can't have a relationship with God, but Jesus dies for my sins. He opens up that opportunity for me to trust by faith in him, and now we can have a relationship. How awesome is it that God gave his life? Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. How valuable is that relationship to him? If somebody says, you love your kids, yeah. Would you die for your kids? Yep. That tells you how valuable they are to me. If somebody said, would you die for Billy Bob over here? I had to think about it for a second, all right? I'm not as quick to jump in front of a bullet for Billy Bob. But for Abby, Anna, Lydia, David, maybe even Kristen, I would jump in front, just kidding. I would jump in front of whatever, train, bullets, wild bears at our house, whatever it is, because they're valuable to me. God says, I'm going to show you how valuable you are to me by dying for you. That's how important your relationship with God. If people had this understanding of God, and they would understand their value. We are valuable to God because of why we were created. But finally, I want to look at one last thing and we'll be done. In verse 5, the verse that changed my life, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Later on in verse 16, he also says, I have chosen you to bear much fruit. Listen, the last reason we can have value and worth this morning and feel priceless, not only to God but to this world, is by understanding for the purpose for which we were created. Listen, I have this relationship with God. I understand who I am. I'm created. I'm special. I'm made in the image of God. I'm made in his likeness. I understand all of that. But understand there's a purpose for my life. It's to bear fruit. To bear fruit. Now, we know that God tries to simplify it. Jesus does in the New Testament when it comes to his commands. He doesn't roll out, 5,000 commands and do all this and you'll be great. Makes it really simple. It says, love God and love others. It's really simple, right? And then he asks us to bear fruit. What is it to bear fruit? Well, I'll tell you what it's not, because I've seen it. Again, I've grown up in church. I'm 44. Grown up in church. I've been around a lot of Christians. I've led churches before. I've seen it. I've done it. I've done what is wrong as far as trying to bear fruit. And sometimes what I find when we do it wrong is we try to do everything we can for God. I mean, there's a list somewhere, right, God? And we try to find a list. If I could just follow all these things in this list and do all these things. Pastor gets up on Sunday, he says, hey, Pastor Dan, he says, hey, we got this program come up. We need some helpers. And so you sign up for it. The next Sunday, he's got another list, and he's got another one. And next Sunday, and there's all these, and there's somebody else gets up on stage. The Trail Youth comes. You sign up for that because you might as well cover your bases there. And pretty soon, you have 20 things on your list of things you're doing because you want to bear fruit for God. What happens to that person that has 20 things on their list that they're trying to do all these things to bear fruit for God? I found that they usually are not doing what God's called them to do. They're doing 20 things that somebody else is called to do, and they get burned out. You ever been burned out? I'm raising my hand. I'm the first one here. I've been extremely burned out for the Lord. Oh, I got to do it because I love Jesus. And God's like, I've made you and created you a special way. I have something for you. I want you to do that, and you'll find value. Well, one thing which I do at the Trail is, obviously, we pour into youth on a regular basis, but we want the youth to learn to pour into others as well. It's no good just being a vacuum, sucking it all in, right? You also have to be that one that pours out. I tell you, one way to find value is by finding what God has called you to do, gifted you to do, made you have an ability to do, and to do that. Don't do that somebody else has been called to do. Do the that God's called you to do. Be that person that God's called you to do. Again, I work in Seattle. I work in North Seattle in the Ballard-Fremont area. And I come in contact with a lot of people that are addicted to drugs. And they're homeless. They're struggling. And my heart goes out to them. And sometimes we have to meet under not so nice circumstances. But usually we get through that. Then we have good conversations. And I've had a lot of conversations in my car. I can't get preachy because I'm a public servant, so I have to be careful what I say. But man, I get talking to them. Hey, what do you like to do? What's your gift? What's your talent? What are you good at? They're like, what? And all of a sudden, I got this guy who all he thought about the last few days is food, sleep, and heroin. That's all he thought about. Maybe something else. But he's got basically a few very simple things, and it's all about himself. And all of a sudden, I've been like, hey, I'm sure you got something. And I start to get them to start thinking about other things. I say, hey, how's your family? What can you? But I find a lot of times their lack of value, their depression, their things they struggle with, it comes down that their whole world is revolved around survival and themselves. When you're surviving, you're only thinking about yourself. That's just, you have to stay alive. He has to do that. She has to do that. I find in life when there are those people that are just doing what God has wired them to do, just doing the good things that God has allowed you and gifted you to do, when you do those things, you'll find all of a sudden, hey, this is, I like my life. There's troubles, there's difficulties, there's challenges, but you know what? I have a purpose. Those people are always the happiest people I know. My dad retired. He was a Seattle police officer as well. He retired, and he went off, and did he just ride off into the sunset? Nope. He did play golf a little bit, all right? It's okay to play golf when you retire, but he and my mom, they went up to a camp in Nova Scotia a few summers. They helped just volunteer their time to keep the pool running, the plumbing working, the kitchen cooking, whatever. They did all that kind of stuff, and they would come back so happy about spending their time and not making a dollar off of it, just having a good time doing what they were good at doing. My dad's not an outgoing, not a very public person, but he loves behind-the-scenes work. My mom's was a pretty good cook for camp. She could cook for 100, 200 people at a time. And so they used what they were good at, and they were happy. They went off into their retirement years, and they kept being happy because they weren't sitting at home going, how can I take care of my happiness tonight? No, it was about doing what they were good at doing, and they found value and worth. I love watching, we call them the trail moms. This is my wife, Wendy, and Tanya, the three ladies. They're just fun to watch. The three husbands were just known as Kristen's husbands, Tanya's husband, and Wendy's husband. And we come in, and I love watching these three. They come home, or we go there, and they're like, oh, you wouldn't believe it today. We got a grant for this much. What? We had so-and-so come in. What? We're going on TV next week. What? Mike Rowe from the TV show, he's coming out to, what? You know, we got a new coffee shop built for us in 2 weeks. What? I mean, it's just crazy stuff all the time. And they're always like, blah, 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 all happy. You know, they're starting another coffee trail in Carnation now to reach more kids. And they got people in Maple Valley calling them, hey, you got to come out here. And when they're doing what they're wired to do, man, you should see on their faces. It's fun to watch these three ladies, all right? Now, when it comes to time with one of the grant people say, hey, we need some paperwork stats on such and such. They're not so valuable at that point. They're not as happy. But when they're doing what they're wired to do, it's fun to watch. It's fun. It's fun to see my children, right? It's fun to see them when they're getting engaged and just doing, helping and encouraging and laughing with people that need it, to see them light up. All of us know what this feels like, right? My tool for you, my exercise for you as we close this morning, is if this morning, hopefully, you realize you are valuable because of how you were made. Hopefully, you realize you're valuable because you were made. The why you were made is because God wants a relationship with you. And hopefully, you understand that your value is found in that you have a purpose for God. So the exercise is, every time you say, you know what? You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you can't say, boy, I'm priceless. I want you to do something for me. I want you to determine that in the next 24 hours, I'm just going to go out, and if I do nothing else, I'm just going to try to say something nice to somebody. I'm just going to start encouraging people. I'm going to love other people. I'm going to be compassionate. I'm just going to use the talents God's given me, and then I'm going to start praying that God gives me specifically what I'm supposed to do in my life to find value. But here's my challenge to you, is that if you do this, I won't guarantee it, but I bet if you just start going out, loving others, loving God, doing those simple things that God's called you to do, I bet in 24 hours, I won't guarantee it, but I'm pretty sure it'll work, in 24 hours, you'll feel valuable. I find that when I look outside of myself, God shows me, hey, I got a purpose for you, and all of a sudden, that value inside of me just springs up, that worth. And God says, hey, you're priceless, to say, I might believe you. I'm getting closer. Thank you, God. I'm not going to say you're wrong. And the closer I get with him, the more and more I see that this is true. This morning, I don't know where you're at. But I do trust, and I know for a fact, that God believes you're valuable. You have worth. You are priceless to him. This church needs you. This community needs you. Your workplace needs you. God loves you. And I encourage you this morning to look to be used of God in the world we live in. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for Lord, creating us. I know the world wants to say we got here by accident. Well, that encourages me so much this morning to know that I am specifically made in your image. Lord, let me leave here this morning. And as I talk to people on the street, as I go to my place of work, as I go to my neighborhood, Lord, help me to just act out like you, to be like you. Help this church this morning. Thank you for their service. What a great church. They love like you love. I thank you for that. But Lord, encourage them, Lord, to realize that they have a great and more very valuable place in this community. Help us all, Lord, when we struggle, to just get back to loving you and loving others. I pray you to continue to bless this church, and thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.